7654321.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
Oh, this you crazy mother.
Welcome, friends, to episode 78 of Color of Magic, your magic and gaming podcast, where we talk about all types of social issues around gaming that other people may not address or tackle. We may not do it perfectly, but we at least try to do it. I am your host, Daquan Watson, and right here tackling these issues with me for 78 episodes, my main man, Brian Allen. How's it going, dude?
We are going.
Well, I got to tell you this. After having you deal with moving, it was my turn. So I am still in the process of unpacking things. I'm glad I was able to just get my stuff up, not miss any social media downtime. Still got my YouTube videos out. But man, it has been rough, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I tell people this. Like, I feel fortunate that I am in a situation that I could at least save up and afford movers. But man, if you can, it is absolutely worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no questions. Like, you talk about, like, saving your back, saving your feet, your legs, like, and it sped everything up. You know, what they did in a few hours would have taken me, like, the better part of probably, like, 3 days.
Not having to try to, you know, awkwardly bribe your friends and have them avoid you for 2 or 3 weeks till you've moved everything.
Yeah, that's true too. Right? That's a whole other situation to navigate. So I'm glad I don't have that going on in my life right now.
I have friends to try that. Let them know, like, I paid somebody to move my crap. There's no, you don't have enough to pay me to try to move yours.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'm still in decent shape, but I mean, you know, Father Time's going to come get his. So if I can save this back, I'm going to save this back.
Right. Not to mention the awkward, like, oh, let's say you mess around and drop some of your friend's stuff. Like, I told you I was no good at this. You tried to blacklist? Yeah, there's just, it's a no-win scenario, really.
Yeah, that's
friendships have ended over less than that.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get into all that kind of mess. But I do want to tell everybody, if you want to support the show and you love these silly, dumb conversations between the two of us, hop over to patreon.com/colorofmagic and support the show. Help us keep the lights on. Help us find new and creative ways. Help us upgrade content and equipment. So many things going on that we use the money for, and we are super appreciative. And one of those people that do help us out a little bit in that department is cardsfair.com. I will say right now, if you're looking to move some cards, maybe you want to pick up some Strixhaven stuff since that comes out in like 2 weeks. Maybe you want to hop over there and sell some stuff because the Magic market is through the roof right now. And there are a bunch of people looking for cards. So you can unload a little bit, make some little side cash, make your little scratch, and be able to afford all those new Strixhaven cards.
If you're moving, you know, if that's the thing you're doing.
Yeah, for real. You want to come up with a grand or two to help get you some movers? Go sell some Magic cards over on Cardsphere. That's real. But it is cardsphere.com. Now, with all that done, man, let's get these crowds in here because we got some things to talk about. There are some things. So, All right. For starters, there is a streamer that goes by the name of Brido, B-R-E-E-D-O. Black woman who streams and has a pretty good following, honestly. She shared this week a message that she got, that she woke up to, actually. And maybe I should just read this to people so they understand. Because I'm like, there's a lot to digest here. So here's the entire message that she got. It says, "Hi, Brito. I saw your stream tonight and wanted to say that I'm very impressed with your work. I did have a few recommendations that I wanted to run by you, though, if you're okay with it. Smiley face." So we set it up nicely. Like, hey, I saw your stuff. I'm impressed. I have a suggestion. All right. One, your skin was glowing way too much and it was distracting, as was your hair. Okay, full stop. What the hell does that even mean?
I don't even know what that means.
Like, my first thought, I didn't even get any further. And I'm like, what is like, is our lighting too bright, or is it just like your skin was awesome? Like, I don't know
where they're going. Neither one of us knows where they're going. So I'm assuming she didn't know either.
Yeah. It's like, so already we're off to a weird start. So is there any way you could tone it down a bit? Maybe up the contrast on your camera or wear something tamer. What does like,
what does that have to do with your skin glowing?
Exactly. I'm like, this person. Oh, okay. I'll continue before, because I have so much to say about this.
Yeah.
Two, everything was a little bland, to be honest. There wasn't really anything to be entertained by aside from the game. By the way, this is a person said, I am impressed by your work. Two paragraphs.
Yeah, that's how they started.
The ghetto humor is outdated, and you need to find something new to go with for your brand. Another smiley face. And that is literally how the statement is written, by the way. Three, we're not done yet. I looked at your past videos, too, and saw that you had BLM in your titles. Don't. Not only does it look unprofessional, but it also gives the impression that you make everything about race. Anyways, I hope this helped a little. With an exclamation point. I'm sorry if it came off as rude, because it wasn't my intention. You are a wonderful streamer, and I hope I can work with you in the future, but I can't work with an unkempt nigga. In quotes. With an A, not the ER. Have a great night with the smiley face.
Apparently you can say any crazy crap you want, but smiley face. Smiley face.
Okay, this is why we share this type of stuff, right? People don't understand that. Like, people are so disconnected from reality that they share stuff like this thinking it's helpful, and they don't even know how to couch the conversation because, well, let me give a compliment and I'm going to contradict the compliment, and then I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to compliment again, but then I'm going to talk trash about you or whatever. But like, come on.
But smiley face. So it's okay. I put a smiley face at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, like top to bottom. Okay, like wear something tamer. Like that doesn't have crap to do with somebody's hair and skin glowing. Which, by the way, if you tell any woman her skin is glowing, she ain't going to be upset about it.
No.
So that makes zero sense.
My wife has received that compliment before from people that follow us on YouTube. And she still reminds me how much they love her skin.
Yeah, I don't under... Like, this is just like... What is this even going... Like, all this is saying is, basically, I want you to look less black. Like, tone down your camera and your contrast and wear something else or whatever. Then the second thing. Well, it was a little bland, blah, blah, blah. Ghetto humor is outdated. You need to find something else to go with your brand. Maybe that is her brand. Like, maybe she is overly urban, as I do my air quotes nobody can see. Right? Like, maybe that's the case. Maybe that's who she is. If you don't like it, don't watch it. And then...
Yeah, because there's nobody making any money doing that kind of humor. It's outdated. Okay. Kevin Hart is not a thing. You know?
Yeah, and then don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not putting it out there. It's not for me, but I know other people enjoy it, and that's who some people are. So, whatever. And then, the whole BLM thing. She's black.
Right.
Like, what did you expect? Like, seriously.
Well, like, in fairness, there are black content creators who have chosen not to speak up or speak up. So, yeah, there are people, I guess, that expect that from their content creator.
Sure, but I'm saying, like, if you go to a white person that has BLM in their title and you want to have that conversation, that's one thing. Because, you know, and don't get me wrong, they're being supportive and that's awesome. But, like, I could at least see if you want to engage in that conversation. But that would be like me right now with all the things going on with the Asian community. Going to one of them and going like, you probably shouldn't be putting this in your post. Right? Like, why? If you are concerned about a thing going on with your race, there's no room for discussion.
But Daquan, this country has allowed you to make a living playing cards and video games. You should be grateful. You should just accept that, hey, sometimes you're going to get shot or harassed. You know, it's just part of the process.
And here, you know,
devil's advocate, Daquan.
Exactly. But here's the other thing. This the kicker to the whole damn thing was the last paragraph. You know, sorry, I hope this didn't come off rude, blah, 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 whatever. But it's
how could it come off any other way?
You're wonderful, and I hope I can work with you in the future.
But
hell nah. No. Like, there is no chance.
For any amount of money.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Like, and this is the point I'm saying, when y'all don't understand, when we're having these conversations about how disconnected people are from reality, this person tried to drag somebody in a comment and then was like, but I hope we get to work together in the future. But I can't work with an unkempt nigga. Like, what? Like, I read this and I wanted to strangle somebody for her.
Right?
Like, I mean, for real. Like, what? Like, how is this even remotely? Like, even at the end of that, like, even if you were so lost that you're like, yeah, but I really want to work with this person or whatever. And then you followed it up with those last three words in there. And yeah. I'm like, whoa. like that's how
to
that's
me,
your closer?
If, you know, if you're racist and you hate me, I'd just rather know up front. At least with a Klansman, I know where I stand. The people that scare me the most are the ones that are like, hey, good work, but I got a couple of notes. Here's if you just hadn't done this joke, for example.
Dude, I'm with you. Like, I'll tell you, I have said for years, when I would pull up on a truck down south and they got the stars and bars on the back and they've got the What Would Bubba Do sticker and I can see their two rifles on their gun rack.
Right.
I at least know where they stand. You know what I mean?
I know to give them a wide berth.
Yeah, like, I know to keep my distance from these dudes or whatever, right? Like, I don't like it, but I get it. Like, you don't like me, I don't want to mess with you. Whatever. But when the people are very subversive about it, or they don't even realize how racist they are or whatever, like, that's a much more dangerous game.
That scare me the most. Because, like you said, they think they're helping. And they almost never are.
And they're likely to go off when you don't even know it. Like, and I've seen that happen where, like, you're in a situation and then somebody's racism starts showing all of a sudden and all like you and two or three other people just go like, what? like what just happened? You know, like we said, we had the friend that just on Facebook a few months ago, around episode probably like 60 or so, we talked about it, where just stuff came out and we both just went, I thought this person was down.
Yeah.
Like, well, hell, now I got to go rethink and re-question everything. Like, you got to start questioning reality and going like, well, I trusted this person for all these things. And then you're like, okay, well, when something went wrong and they were involved, did they like directly sabotage me? Did they not help me get a thing I thought I was supposed to get? Did they not put in a good word for me at this job previously? Like, I don't know. But you know what I mean?
Now you got to question stuff. I was in an office one day where somebody had put my boss down for a reference, you know, assuming they'd get the good review. And yeah, she ripped them a new one. And I didn't even know how to get in contact with the person to tell them, please don't ever use that person for a reference again. If I had anyone in contact, I would have.
That's rough, man. That's
when you think somebody's going to say glowing things and then they go a whole other direction. Because don't tell her how many other people, you know, she called. Hopefully after she didn't get it, because I'm assuming she didn't get that job. Hopefully after that happened a couple of times, she stopped you and that particular person for a reference.
I hope so. Well, all right, I'm going to get off this. I'm going to hand the crowd over to you and let you deal with this. I hear you got something from some recent news to talk about.
Yeah, you know, my fellow comedian, Cheryl Underwood, I'm sure y'all have heard or seen by now, had the crazy exchange with Sharon Osbourne where she was, you know, where Sharon said, educate me on racism, which you know how much we love educating white people on racism. But hey, when you sign up to do a talk show, it's going to end up happening to you at some point.
Yep.
And while Cheryl was trying, you know, she's like, why are you crying? You know, don't cry. I'm the one who should be crying because you're coming here. Okay, you just, for educated about racism, you're stepping on somebody's pain. Somebody is telling you, you or someone else has hurt them, and you're telling them they don't have the right to be hurt. Racist! You're being racist right now, and you don't even understand. So yeah,
the messed up part of that was it started from her defending somebody else.
Yeah, Piers Morgan, exactly. Who had said he didn't believe anything Meghan Markle had to say, stepping all over her pain.
But the thing to me is, like, we've already had other issues with Piers Morgan.
Right, it's not like this is the first time.
It wasn't
apparently like, the only reason Morgan broke with Trump is because Trump criticized him because Morgan dared to not worship at the altar and say Trump did something stupid that day.
And that's my thing, right? If somebody has effectively been a model citizen, right? They've been a friend to the culture even, yeah, or whatever. And then a thing comes out, you might be like, okay, maybe it wasn't meant that way. Maybe,
yeah, well, let's this hear wasn't about really.
Yeah, but like when you have a history of things, well, you just might be racist.
Or Morgan just always says inappropriate things. Like after the legendary broadcaster Larry King died, everybody else remembered, you know, their great interview that they had or something they learned from Larry King. And Piers Morgan jumps into the middle of all these old bits. Well, you know, I remember Larry King was kind of upset when I took his talk show over. Well, yeah.
Yeah, no joke.
Of course he would be. You had to talk about that now.
The other thing too is I think people forget that both there's been a lot of stories about both Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne when right. they ended up leaving America's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much are true stories. Or not, but maybe
well,
these are connected.
At this point,
maybe they're not.
When somebody because I know when I saw the thing that you know immediately sprung to mind for me was. I'm not a big fan of the talk. I don't watch it. The couple of times I have seen it, Sharon Osbourne has been saying something crazy. Like, I saw this exchange. Then all the time before that, when I happened to be watching, she was talking about the whole Johnny Depp, Amber Heard situation. And she was defending Johnny Depp and mentioning that Ozzy once choked her within an inch of her life, but they're still married. And I don't know what point you were trying to make.
I'm just saying, who just puts their business out there like that? Like, well, you know, one time I almost got choked the F out, but like, we cool.
And I'm sure Johnny Depp's people are like, hey, if you're trying to defend Johnny for the love of God, would you stop? Because you're not helping.
For real. I'm like, what's even going on there?
I was just left wondering what point she was even attempting to make. I kind of thought, you know, maybe somebody would pull her aside then and be like, hey, you can't say things like that. But no, it took. So it sounds like she's been saying some of this stuff off camera and some crazy stuff on camera for a long time. And it took this to just hit a point where, okay, enough is enough. We can find another middle-aged white woman for this panel. You know, or
for real. For real. I don't know, man. That's television, man.
Yeah.
Like, some days, as much as I want to be part of it, I'm kind of glad I'm not.
Right. As you said, we managed to go almost 80 weeks, you know, but hopefully not say anything Sharon Osbourne level stupid.
All right, man. As much as we like talking about that stuff, let's get on something a little more positive and tell people something that we learned last week.
All right. I learned that baseball still tried to go by a bizarre set of unwritten rules. As some of you may have seen, Cincinnati Reds star Nick Castellanos hit a great home run, and he was happy. He started literally like, excuse me, start skipping to first base like as a little kid would, and this, you know, caused a whole brouhaha eventually would lead to a brawl. But one of the things people didn't realize, and he talked about interviews, you know, really, he was not trying to show anybody up. He was just really happy to be playing baseball again because, as you can imagine, he's a creature of routine. And last year, like a lot of us, his routine got completely disrupted. So he wasn't trying to embarrassed the pitcher. He literally was little kid happy to be on the field playing baseball in front of at least a few fans again.
Man, you know what? And this is the thing. It's only baseball, man. Like,
yeah, it's this game that a lot of us played as a kid, you know?
Football, you score a touchdown, you spike the ball. Hell, even now, we got to where we could finally do celebration dances and not get penalized.
Like, to me, as long as it's not, you know, vulgar, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, hockey, you score a big goal. The whole team comes out, skates around the ice, whatever. Like, in soccer, hell, dudes are sliding, pulling shirts over their head. Right. Hell, even in basketball, like, you get the most disrespect. You jam on somebody who's trying to put a hard block on you. Like, you do that step over, look down out. Yes. Like, that's the disrespect.
And those are things that as fans of those sports, I enjoy all those moments.
Oh, yeah. But I'm going to be real. Like, if you want a disrespectful thing, that is at least is an acknowledged move of disrespect. Yeah. Like, you dunk on somebody and they hit the deck and you do the step over thing while you're, like, celebrating. That's for real disrespect. That. But people that's still what, do it, right? And you know, you got dunked on. You're going to be mad about it. You'll get up and get in a dude's face, but that's it. Like, ain't going to be a fight. Ain't going to be anything crazy. Yeah. Like, you just know, like, hey, I'm acknowledging that you're disrespecting me. Like, that's all. And you even if to finish the game.
Even if you believe the other thing, even if you would just say, you know, you think Nick's lying, he was trying to show up the pitcher, I'm sorry. Baseball needs more moments that are – I'm a lifelong fan of baseball, and I freely admit that sometimes it's background noise because the day-to-day, minute-to-minute stuff is kind of boring. We need more bat flipping, more skipping to first base, more joy in this game, really.
You know how you fix that? Don't let them hit a home run off you.
There you go.
I mean, seriously, that's it. Like, same thing in basketball. You might not be happy a dude stepped over you, whatever, but, like, he did dunk on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it happened, right?
Call you can be for mad. Help if you need to so you don't get dunked on.
Yeah, you can be mad that the team's celebrating in the end zone, but you should have stopped that receiver from catching the ball.
After right. all, as they say, that is your job.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing to be mad about. Like, I'm, you know what I want, though? I want one of the players to just play the role of the villain. Just Castellanos could have just been like, yeah, I was showing him up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't like you. I went
yard on that ass. Like, for real. Just like, for real. Just for real. And, dude, let that get headlines and watch how many people tune into the next ball game when those teams right. play. Like, ratings would go through the roof for that game.
You want a full heel turn, as we say in the wrestling business. Yep.
Especially if that dude would have been on the mound again pitching to him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know everybody would have tuned in for that. Like, hell, if I was the opposing coach, I would switch up my rotation to make sure he is the one on the mound for that next game.
Right.
For real, I would. I don't know, man. Baseball just is hung up on itself too much.
Well, one of my favorite stories about that I'll move on, is like Nolan Ryan, the legend, you know, he hits somebody, and it's another one of the unwritten rules is if the pitcher hurts you, you're not supposed to let the pitcher know that he hurts you. It's Nolan Ryan. The fastball's 100 miles per hour if it's an out. Obviously, he hurts you. Guy draws himself up, walks to first, and he stands there and goes, my daddy hit me harder than that when I was a kid. Now Nolan's upset.
Yep.
The first time was an accident. The next time the guy comes up to the plate, Nolan aims for him, hits him in the back with a baseball. At this point, the guy almost has to crawl to first. Because again, Nolan aimed the ball right at the small of his back. But he finally, you know, draws himself up and Nolan looks at him. So, daddy ever hit you that hard?
I'm just saying, but you know what though? I respect that dude saying, you hit me once, cool. You know, whatever. Now, the second is Nolan Ryan being petty.
Oh, yeah, but again, that was a great moment to watch.
Yep. Well, you know what? We do have a lot of gamers that happen to be wrestling fans. And I know this because every time I share a wrestling meme on social media, so way more people get the reference than I think.
Yep.
And it's funny because it doesn't matter if I'm sharing new stuff with the New Day or if I'm sharing, like, a meme or a gif from the Steiner Stone Math Cold promo.
Oh, yes.
Because, see, like, Stone Cold, everybody knows. But when I share the Steiner Math promo and people know what that is, I'm like, all right, there's a lot of wrestling fans.
You're a true fan because not everybody knows who Scott Steiner is or what that promo is.
Yep, because that promo wasn't even on WCW or WWE. That was over on
TNA, I believe.
Yeah, it was over there on Impact. But I bring that up because an interesting thing happened. For those who don't know, this weekend is going to be WrestleMania. And they're doing the big two-day event since there's no crowds. They're breaking it up over 2 days in their performance, in their Thunderdome, as they call it. And I found out something. So recently, WWE sold, or actually partnered, I guess, the WWE Network with Peacock, the streaming service by NBC. Which, that in and of itself isn't huge news, but if you did have previously the WWE Network for $9.99, you can now get Peacock for $4.99, and you still get all the stuff you got before, plus a lot more. Awesome. But that also means you get WrestleMania, because you get all the pay-per-views as part of the WWE Network, which I'm like, well, this is cool. And then I found out, for those of you that have Comcast, or Xfinity, I guess, they're same company, but Xfinity is the internet arm, you can go and get this, whatever they call the name for their special box, but it's effectively like a Roku box that has a bunch of different streaming services activated for it. You just get for free as part of having Comcast. One of those is Peacock. So if you're a wrestling fan, you can get the WWE Network now and all the pay-per-views for no extra cost just because you have internet through Xfinity. This is awesome.
Right?
I'm like, wait, so I can literally just save what was going to be $60 a year. Yep. And even if I just watch the pay-per-views, that's totally worth it for free.
Yeah. I've been, they don't pay me for this, but yeah, I've had WWE Network since it started. So, and Peacock Prime, I think, is only $5. So yeah, for half of the price, you get all the WWE stuff and everything on Peacock, which I think is almost everything NBC/Universal has.
Yep.
You can literally watch Law and Order till you die. I mean, that's you'll never get caught up because they never
protected them. The main dude from SVU, when it was like him and Harkness or whatever her name was.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is apparently on another Law and Order show. I saw a
Organized for that Crime. Today. He's back.
Yeah. I was like, there's another Law and Order.
And it's like, and it's very, it actually fits into, you know, color or magic what we talk about, because the problem is, you'll probably remember, if anybody's ever seen even one episode, Elliot Stabler is not what you would call a good cop.
Oh, he's definitely not. He
beats the crap out of perps all the time. And that, you know, in pre-George Floyd era, you're like, yeah, get him, Stabler. I'm a black man. I'd be like, yes, because Christopher Lloyd is such a good actor. I would find myself cheering for the cop, beating for the perp, who would later turn out to be innocent. But now, yeah, it's way different now.
And I'm with you. Like, he is not, like, he is a good guy as far as the role. But he is not a good person in his actions.
No, because every episode is like, give him 5 minutes with Stabler. And the guy's like, what are you doing? Yep. It's like every episode, Stabler's character.
All right, dude. Why don't we get into some of the other news? Because we have a lot of things to talk about that are more gamer-centric than some of these people may have tuned in for. All right, well, last week, we were getting close to a milestone where you had almost 200 subscribers. Oh, no. We got hit with the tune twice. It came back up. But you were trying to get to 200 subscribers on YouTube, and it looks like you got there.
We crushed it. It's gone up since we started recording this. It's at 212 now, I believe. So thanks to everybody. I'm getting a little emotional. You guys just, you know. We didn't hit the goal. We crushed it. I mean, I love you guys. I don't know what else to say. I'm so, thank you.
And here's the thing, too, I want to say to people. Like, everybody's success on social media, especially we're in the content creation game, is going to be a different... I hate you being cliche, but it is a different journey for everybody. You know, whether you're trying to make videos for YouTube, or you're trying to stream on Twitch, or you're doing a thing on Facebook gaming, or you're trying to build your followers on Instagram or Twitter. Maybe you're doing multiple of those at once. Like, everybody's going to have different numbers, and they're going to go at different speeds, and people are going to latch on to different people for different reasons. So it's still important to celebrate those milestones.
Right.
You know, just where I was saying, like, man, I had like 10,000 subscribers in 1 year. There's another dude. They have I Hate Your Deck, the YouTube channel. They hit 20,000 subscribers, like in, what is it, like 6 or 7 months?
Right.
And I was like, that's
as
cool.
You said, it's different for everybody. Because I still, you know, as somebody that does live theater and comedy, because you know, I've hit kind of a, I would call it, what, a floor or whatever, where almost any video I put out hits somewhere between 20 and 40. I can't tell you how many times I've done comedy shows or theater shows, performed for 5 or 6 people. And I wouldn't even begin to imagine how many. So, yeah. To have every time I drop a video, there's between 20, 40, sometimes they go over 1,000. It's still mind blowing to me that many people want to hear anything I have to say and even comment and respond to it, you know, and give thumbs up and all those good things.
I mean, you know what? Let us know, you know, either on social media, on our Twitter feed or, you know, in the Discord or whatever. Like, would y'all be interested in just hearing about performance journeys, like how we have performed in different groups in front of audiences, speaker stuff? Because I think that, you know, you bring up a good point there, Brian. I think there's a thing some people don't understand, you know, in the field of comedy, when you're trying to get started, like, you know, you get to be an opener for the main act that night, you know, right. There's 3 or 4 acts and you're lucky sometimes, all right, cool, we're giving you 5 minutes. So you get the first 5 minutes before they've even filled the room. Because, you know, people are looking for the main act at, yep, like 9 o'clock and you're on at 7:30 and you got 5 to 8 minutes and that's all they're giving you to perform.
And there's so much pressure because, you know, if you start out the show and nobody's laughing, it's kind of like it's almost like a, you know, a habit, a reflex. So if you go out there and do 5 minutes and you don't get one laugh, now the headliner's mad at you. And they have every right to be, because it was your job to get the crowd warmed up.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of stuff like that I don't think people are aware of. So it could be for an interesting show. Maybe it's something we do just for the patrons. Maybe we just put together an episode over a weekend and put it up, because I think that could be interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Could be fun though. Well, you know, we talked about the Peacock Network a little bit earlier, and we're kind of bringing it up again here because one of the things we've been seeing is they're kind of going through their video library and deleting episodes, which I don't think people really expected was going to be a thing. But I think it kind of shows how cultural climates have changed with some of the different shows. And that's literally everything from their own, you know, main network stuff that have been very popular to some of the WWE skits, especially stuff from the Attitude Era.
WWE skits.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff's gone away.
Wrestling is, you know, I say this as a fan, wrestling has traded in racism as a means to get what we call heat for decades.
Oh, yeah. Like, there was that feud with Booker T and Triple H at one point,
yes,
where he didn't necessarily drop the N-word, but like,
but he basically said people like you or something,
yeah, to the exactly, extent of,
like, should never be the world champion.
Yeah, like you knew what he was saying, and admittedly.
And now, now they're doing all this because he probably tried to save his segment. He said, "No, that's not what I meant. I meant people that are not main eventers, bro. We know what you meant."
No, and that's the thing. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'm not saying Triple H is racist by any
means.
But
no, he's
playing,
he
was doing what he needed to do,
yeah,
to
he's
sell
playing character,
the skit, right? Yeah, you got to sell this feud and give people a reason to get behind Booker T, right? So you just make yourself to be the instant villain that everybody can go like, oh. Yeah, that's effed up. We're automatically, yeah, on the other dude's side now. Right.
And what's also interesting, because now we have, you know, wrestlers, many wrestlers that have become actors. And Edge, yeah, for example, you know, a star on Vikings and a couple of other shows. And he mentioned, it's kind of crazy because, you know, if I go and do a show on Vikings where I do racial slurs and put heads on pikes, everybody realizes it's a TV show. Edge is an actor. He doesn't really put people's heads on pikes. Where in wrestling, if you say the N-word or you do something terrible, they're like, oh, wait, we should probably go back and cut that out because we're not sure people realize, you know, that it's not real.
Yeah, and it's not just that. I mean, I think they got rid of the one, I think it was a Raw taping where they basically crucified Stone Cold.
Oh, I didn't know they got that one.
Yeah. Where, you know, they put him up on the, like, Undertaker symbol that looks suspiciously but like a cross.
Obviously, yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, there was some stuff in there that was pretty rough. But, you know, it makes me wonder, right? We go back and talk about all the things we've had historically in gaming. And you say, like, okay, well, should we go back and edit a bunch of things? You know, because this kind of comes back to Wizards going and say, you know what? Maybe it was time for us to go clean up our stuff. You know, when they went and said, okay, all these cards have references or terminology or words that we don't use anymore, societally, right? We've decided these are bad things to say. This is bad imagery to have. We're going to go get rid of it. And people gave them a lot of crap for it, but I think this just goes to show, you know, this isn't just with Wizards. This isn't just in gaming. Like, this is society changing that's doing this.
I was watching the Smurfs one morning because I couldn't sleep, and Gargamel dropped what would in pretty much any era be considered a racial slur. And that was a couple of weeks ago. That is still being aired on Cartoon Network and Boomerang, apparently.
I'm pretty sure, if I remember right, they went and took out a couple of episodes of Animaniacs a while back.
Yeah, because Animaniacs, it was a game to the writers to get stuff past the censors.
Yeah, there was quite a few things.
They did a lot of it. It was a game those writers were very good at.
Oh, yeah, like, I've rewatched them, and there's, like, sexual innuendos. Oh,
so many. There's so many.
Stuff where you're not even paying attention. It's just, like, it sounded like a fun one-liner, but then in hindsight, you're like, whoa. Yeah. How did I not catch that last time?
Well, because you were 12 years old is one of the reasons.
Probably, yeah. So it's a wild time, you know, to really think about. You know, so for as much as people were coming back and saying, well, Wizards is trying too hard, or maybe it's too late, they shouldn't really mess with it, and blah, blah. You know what? You're talking about people and companies that make 10x or more what Wizards does in a year. You know, and they are going in and deleting full shows that they spent, in some cases, probably, if not tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands on one episode.
Yeah.
That they're just cutting out entirely. You know, so for Wizards to go back and be like, hey, we're going to take this card down. We're not going to reference this person or this word or this image anymore. It's kind of in line with the rest of society.
Yeah.
You know, it's us taking down the Confederate statues sort of thing, right? Like, these are things we're acknowledging. They're like, yeah, this kind of was effed up. Like, maybe we should just be better.
Taking away our history, Quan. How you gonna do that?
Well,
that's burning books now.
those are the biggest participation trophies we have in the country. I will say that.
Right.
Like, you lost, but you still got a statue. Like, that's basically what that is.
Yeah, because they used to joke, like, if you go to other countries, are there statues of, I don't know, Holy Roman Empire or other people that lost wars? And apparently there are a surprising amount of those kind of statues.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's an interesting time. You know, I think it's hard to really decide where the line is and what should or shouldn't be included. But I think as we start changing the conversation and the discussions and saying, okay, let's look at it from a different perspective. How are we trying to be moving forward? And what's important to have around? And it's not even about, like, I know some people say, well, you leave it so people can see the mistakes or whatever, but like, not that much is going to be learned from that being there.
And to be fair, like, you know, it's a note in the textbook is usually how we record history. Statue usually means this person was worthy of honor.
Yeah.
That's why there are statues of Babe Ruth outside Yankee Stadium. Or statues of George Washington, you know, on all the places he ever lived. Because we are saying these are people that we feel should be honored.
Though, so yeah, statues, to be fair, we still mad about Philadelphia having a Rocky statue, but not one of any of their real boxers that came out of Philadelphia.
Yeah. Yeah, that shows you.
And that's for real, y'all. They have a Rocky statue, but they have literal, like, world-class boxers that come that they have not.
Like Joe Frazier.
Yep. So crazy. So crazy. But hey, that's the world we're in. But one thing I will say as we close out this segment, I don't know if you saw over the last week where they started putting out some preview images and video for Space Jam. And for some unknown reason, that weird gang from A Clockwork Orange that I'm pretty sure were rapists were in the front row of one of the scenes. I don't even know why. Like, if something needs to be deleted, they need to go back and take that scene out and get those people out of there.
The best is you just cut out Pepe Le Pew. Pepe looking like WTF.
For real. And here's the thing. WB has a gigantic library of stuff.
Like, they could have used any number of characters that would be something that adults... Because obviously that they're throwing in there as a reference only the adults will get. But it's like, did you have to use that? And it clearly did.
But there's got to be something that's like Ghostbusters, Goonies. Where, I mean, there's got to be something in the WB library that falls in that window. Maybe Gremlins? Maybe? Like, something probably falls in there that they could use? Like, why that? Like, it even looks out of place in the scene.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know who... I mean, but hell, you know what? We went back and redid an entire Sonic movie. We can at least go take those dudes out of a couple scenes. I don't think it's going to be that big a deal. Don't know if there's really a lot to say about this next thing, other than everybody gets to celebrate that Nick Kelman has stepped down from his job with Wizards of the Coast. So, yay!
Yeah, I think after Therese Nielsen being gone, he was pretty much the most requested employee for Wizards to be rid of.
Yeah, like I said, there's really not a lot to cover there. I think everybody already had a largely negative opinion about his perspective on things, his past works, pretty much how he mutilated the War of the Spark situation. Nobody seemed happy with anything that he did. You know, the whole Oko thing was also his doing, from what I understand. So, yeah, dude being gone, it's better for everybody. That's kind of the news on that one.
Yeah.
All right, this next thing is actually just funny because I was thinking about fun ways to increase social engagement. And one of the funniest things, and this is going to be a free tip for y'all that follow the show. One of the things that really helps increase social engagement is things that either largely resonate with a huge chunk of the population or things that allow people to celebrate or talk about themselves. Happens all the time. So I was like, what would be really fun is if I started posting shower thoughts, which are kind of the equivalent of Deep Thoughts by Jack Handy, you know, from Friday Night Live, right? It's kind of the same thing, only instead of being like just dumb one-liners, I'm asking like real questions. And it's funny because I thought about it. I said, you know, well, I do a lot of thinking in the shower. I literally get in there for 5 minutes, bathe, and then I'm kind of just hanging out for 20 minutes in the steam, thinking about a million different things. It's my thought chamber, as it were. So then I was like, let me just put random thoughts, literally from my phone in the shower, by the way. It was a literal shower thought when I started doing it.
Oh, wow.
So, because, you know, my phone's water resistant. So
I was about to say, you must have some good phone technology there.
I grab my phone and I start tweeting. And I believe the first one I did might have been the microwave thing, where like how many of you count down the microwave till it gets to 1 second and then you open the door so it doesn't hit zero and you have to listen to the beep. Tons of people responded, which was just the funniest thing. All right. So then I was like, okay, well, how many of y'all spend a lot of time in the shower doing more thinking than bathing? Because I'm like, I do it, so I don't know. It's like Sierra thing. Right? So it's been fun to really increase engagement. And the biggest thing to me that I've enjoyed about it is we're having just good, positive conversations. And some people are seeing that, like, oh, a lot of other people share similar habits to me. You know, and some people are like, oh, I thought I was just weird for doing this thing. And it's like, no, there's more people like you, right? Just, it's not a thing people normally talk about.
Comics are writing jokes and rehearsing jokes. The quad is coming up with shower thoughts and getting the engagement.
Hey, I'm, you know, like whatever works.
Right? I'm jealous. I wish I'd thought of it. Many other comedians do as well, I'm sure.
Oh, actually, no, my first one was not that. I just realized. My first one was because I was thinking about, as people get their vaccines, going back to kind of like F&Ms and going and playing Magic and doing that. And that's where it all came from. So I posted, will we soon be seeing most of the deaths from COVID being a majority anti-vaxxers? Because, you know, that was my, like, my real thought, right? Okay, when we go back to stores and we're all vaccinated, the only people likely to get sick, well, the only people likely to die from it are going to be people that aren't vaccinated. So it's like, man, that's a weird thought, right? Is that going to be like a dividing line at some point if strains of COVID keep mutating? Like, I don't know that answer, but like, it could be weird going into your spaces and you're like, oh yeah, I got my vaccine on such and such. And somebody's like, well, F y'all, you know, you and your, whatever you're called, your nanobots in your arm that are going to F you up in 3 days, you know, as they turn on the 6G and take you to the moon or whatever it is they believe. I don't know, turn you into a crocodile or whatever that other dude was saying. And then they just magically quit showing up. You know what I mean? Like, are you going to be like, oh man, you think they got the COVID? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be crazy. Like, it's a weird scenario to think about. Like, the world's going to be different how we think about everything. Yeah.
As I mentioned in my Cardsphere article, a cheap plug, remember how we would all just, the con crud. How long have we known the con crud was a thing?
Oh, ages.
Yeah.
Ages.
How many precautions did we ever take to avoid said con crud, other than the handful of people that you would occasionally see wearing masks? Most of us, it's whatever. I'm going to the convention and I ain't worried about it. Then I'm sick for a week and a half.
Yep. And people used to laugh at me because I would keep those little mini bottles of hand sanitizer with me.
Right.
And I'm using it throughout the day. Anytime I'm like,
I was one of those people.
Yeah, I'm because like, and I told people, like, when I'm there doing demos and stuff, I'm touching pieces other people have touched all day. I'm like handling money and stuff. I'm like handshaking people, hugging people I know coming up to me, whatever. Like, I have tons of points of human contact. And then when I would come back, people would be all sick and they're like, how do you never get sick at conventions? You must have like an outstanding immune system. I'm like, I'm pretty healthy, but I also am minimizing my risk. And now that I know what I know about wearing a mask, you're damn right. When I go back to conventions and stuff, I'm going to be wearing a mask.
Another con story or consequence, you know how, especially at video game conventions, they have booth babes, right? This is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Where they stand there dressed like Laura Croft for hours. One of them says one of their job has is like, smell my shoulder. Like, wait, excuse me? No, smell my shoulder. Because from taking all those pictures, she gets armpit stank on her shoulder for standing there,
man,
taking pictures with gamers.
I didn't even think about that.
After a 7 to 8 hour shift, their shoulder smells like unwashed gamer.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes total sense.
When you think about it, you understand. Because, like you said, with you touching people, they don't take one picture. They take 300 pictures. Yeah.
See, this is one of those things that, like, as soon as you said it, it makes perfect sense. But I had never thought about that. And now I'm just like,
right,
gosh, damn it.
till somebody explained that to me. But then, as you said, it made, yeah.
Oh, man, that's a rough one. Ugh. Oh, gosh, man. All right. I'm moving on to the next topic.
Yeah. I didn't mean to just completely throw you off, but.
Okay. For people who don't know, well, actually, if you haven't heard him, because some of you are not American and don't see him on American television, there is a late night talk show host that goes by the name of Jimmy Fallon, formerly of some kind of really bad movies, but also he's a former SNL cast member. So Saturday Night Live. And his show's been very popular, kind of like always ranked number one, occasionally ranked number two in the late night talk show host battles. And he's been doing that for, what, I don't know, like 12 years or something now, I think. It feels like it's been forever. But he decided he was going to get with some members of his band, which is The Roots, by the way. Fantastic group.
No joke.
And he got a couple of celebrities, and they were going to go play Among Us on Twitch. Which, obviously, you knew this was going to be exciting for people. Well, when they got on, he had 120,000-plus people come watch him play Among Us. And then people were upset that the next day, his people got a hold of Twitch, and he was partnered on Twitch. And I don't even know what people are mad about.
I don't know what they expected.
Here's the first thing. Like, in Twitch's own agreement, if you read it, it says, to get partner, you have to complete the path to partner requirements, or effectively the language that says, have a proven large social media following outside of the platform. He has a number one rated late night talk show host. And or show. Just, I think that qualifies.
Not just a gooder. It is the gold standard of talk shows. It is the show we all dreamed about hosting as, you know, a comedian growing up.
Yeah. So that in and of itself, that in and of itself, I don't have a problem with. Like, you just have to accept it's in the agreement. It's done. But the other thing is, just from a business standpoint, him just being involved, even if it's just once a month, once every 2 months, like him getting his people on to talk about Twitch, play on Twitch or whatever, is bringing people to the platform that were not there previously.
Right.
I would even venture to guess that of those views he got on Twitch, at least 20%, and probably a higher number than that, but at least 20% probably didn't use or view things on Twitch regularly prior to that. Which means those are fresh eyes. Possibly even people that average Joes like us might have a chance to interact with down the road because more people are coming to the platform. And then when you get down to it, it doesn't matter that he got partnered. It's not like they have, okay, we have a 5-partner limit this month we can pass out. And we already gave Jimmy Fallon one, so we got 4 more. No, it's just if you meet the rules or the goals and the guidelines, then you get it. That's it.
Yeah, and everybody heard about this one, but as you said, a lot of people don't know about number 2 or social media following. There are people who are like, "Hey, I'm with the LA Uprising, the Athena. Oh, do you play? No, I'm their house manager. That still counts. Do you have a Twitter account? And they get partnered because they know this person will bring in people that you, I, average Joe cannot get just because they are part of a professional gaming organization."
Yeah, and I think people fail to understand. And again, and this is us, you know how much we've bagged on Twitch. So the fact that we're defending Twitch here tells you something. But the reality is, Twitch's job by making you partner is to increase their revenue. Like, you being partnered says, okay, we have found somebody who is active, they're growing, they're doing all the things outside of the platform to bring people in, whatever. We want to make sure they are motivated to stay on our platform. Yes, you make more money, but Twitch isn't worried about giving you more money. You are there to help bring people to them so they get a cut of every one of those subscriptions or people buying bits or whatever it is. Getting more eyeballs for their ad revenue. Right? You just got to admit it is what it is. I mean, but somebody like Jimmy Fallon getting partnered does not stop me from getting partnered in a couple months or whatever. Now, are there some people who have been trying hard that, you know, Twitch has weird requirements because, like, well, you have an embedded video here that's counting for so many things, or you keep getting raids from X people that's pumping your numbers, or like, yeah, sure. There is some idiocy you got to jump through. And for that, yes, you can still knock on Twitch. But to be mad that somebody with the status of Jimmy Fallon got partnered, like, that's just wanting to be mad at something.
Yeah.
It just doesn't do anything. But while we're talking about Twitch, let's roll this into the dinner table. Because we've seen a couple of times here in the last week where some prominent women streamers have been talking about how they're still being harassed by people for they're being angry that these women, while having success, are taking away viewers or taking away success from either them or other people they like to watch on these viewing platforms, which they believe is just because they're women.
That's never been how the process works.
Yeah, and it's such a weird thing, right? You can't, because it almost seems like people are talking out of both sides of their mouth, right? Where you're saying, well, women are no good, whatever. They don't need to be on the platform. Nobody wants to watch them, blah, blah, whatever. But then being like, well, I can't get followers because all these women are on here and people are watching them. Right? Both of those things can't be true.
Right.
The reality, you know what? This is one of those spots where I think we just need to say, bruh, get good.
Yeah. No less of a luminary than Ninja has said, if somebody logs on Twitch and their viewing goal tonight is, I want to see a cute girl playing League of Legends, and you're a dude, they were never coming to your stream. Yep. There is no scenario in which they go from looking for a female streamer to looking for you. That was never happening.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Like, if Well, we're going to use Emma because she posted about it and she's been on our show before. Emma Skyward, right? If Emma doesn't exist, that doesn't magically mean I'm going to get more viewers. Right? Part of her following is what she built up. It's her social network. It's her getting those recurring viewers coming back to her channel after they've hung out for a few minutes. If she's not there, it doesn't even, some of those people may not even hang out on Twitch anymore. Right. Some of them are there just because she's there. And even then, if they weren't watching her, they might just go to some other woman or to somebody who's another dude who's just a better setup or better view, just a better enjoyable experience than you are.
Better at the game? You know, there's all kinds of ways.
So, like, there's nothing dictating that because, and again, this is that Jimmy Fallon thing, right? Like, because one person got a thing doesn't mean you're not getting a thing. Like, people watch multiple people. I have people that have bounced in and out of my stream watching me and somebody else during a night. Or when somebody else has an off night, they'll come and watch mine. Yeah. And vice versa. Like, I just don't understand why people think it's an all or nothing game here.
There are, in any form of entertainment, but on Twitch as well, there are multiple ways to succeed. Yes, being pretty is one of them. So is being funny. In the case of video games, so is being good at a game. Some people are just really great at building communities. You got to figure out which one of those categories you fit into. And yes, there are, it's like multiple choice. There are multiple answers. It is possible to be both pretty and funny. It is possible to be pretty or handsome, pretty, funny, and good at a game, and good at building a community. And yes, the more of those boxes you tick, the more successful you will be. But it is also possible to excel in any one of those categories and get followers and viewers.
I agree with you. And I ain't gonna lie. Like, let me look like a Denzel or Dwayne Johnson or whatever. I'd be working the hell out of that.
I do, and it's still hard for me, you know.
Well, that's true. I ain't even close. So, like, I know what I'm working with. I'm just trying to be conversational and build a good community, and it's working. I'm working with what I got. Somehow, I have a voice for radio or podcast, but I still get people come watch me on Twitch, so I don't know what that means. But, yeah, it's just...
According to some of my YouTube comments, I'm Budget Lawrence Fishburne, so whatever that... I guess see what that gets me.
Hell, I had a dude said I look like Lauren Fishburne, so I don't know what
the hell.
And
we don't look alike at all, so that's really hilarious.
I know. I'm like...
Yes, hilarious slash sad.
That to me was just like, this has to just be a racist comment. Because I'm like, I don't look anything like Lawrence Fishburne.
There's a guy in a Twitch streamer group I'm in, a brother. He says on numerous occasions when he's going to the Twitch meetup, and I have it, he's like, hey, you know, DL Caesar. And no, we don't look alike in the slightest. Other than being black, we have nothing else. I think he's taller than me. He wears glasses, and I do not. Nothing.
That's messed up. But yeah, I feel for these women that are trying to. I mean, I will say this, like, I have seen days where, you know, I've gone and looked and the top, you know, I would say five of the top, like, seven streamers in the Magic category have been women.
And that's awesome. We should be happy about that.
Good on them. Like, I ain't got no hate for them at all. Hell, if anything, if you're a smart dude, you should be raising them up and trying to get the rub working with them. See if maybe some of their audience checks your stuff out, or maybe you could work on a project together.
Because if you look at the top 100 people on Twitch, and I think this is also true on YouTube, there's Pokimane is probably the only one.
The top 100. If you look at the top 100, there's probably a handful. But that's probably it. It's definitely going to be less than like 20% of the group, probably less than 10%. Because I'm thinking Valkyrie might be up there. There might be a few, but not many.
Yeah, so this theory that women have some inherent advantages, the numbers do not bear this theory out. Never have.
And I'll be honest, like, I don't even fault, like, if you dressing nicer, doing your makeup, whatever, is resulting in more views, then more power to you. I ain't mad. Hell, if anything, these dudes, I posted this on Twitter, I said some of them are just straight jealous.
Right.
Because they can't do that. Because they suck. Their streams are not good. They don't know how to talk to people.
It's okay for us to look, you know, I mean, you don't have to be Brad Pitt, but you do need to be presentable. We are trying to get people to look at you.
Oh, yeah. Like, I still get, like, I have some oily skin or whatever, and I have to use special lighting to, like, just because I have darker skin. So, like, sometimes I'm self-conscious trying to make sure, you know, my skin's all good or whatever before I go.
I can tell you that your skin was glowing and that you need to dress tamer since you brought it up. It's been a problem.
That's a good callback. I ain't gonna lie. Like, you got me. But seriously, like, it's, if you were just working what you got, whatever. Like, I think Philippa Carolla posted a picture where she was talking about going to the gym or whatever. And, you know, she was showing the yams and them like yoga pants or whatever. And I was like, cool, good for her. Like, be proud. You're going to the gym, working it, like, whatever. And of course, some people are going to be upset and jealous by it or whatever. I'm like, whatever. But you can get on there and you can show your like biceps from getting them gains or whatever. And like, That's supposed to be all right. Like, come on, man, get over
yourself. It's up to you to figure out which one of the categories that I mentioned, or maybe you do something completely different. Maybe your setup is incredible. I know people, you know, that build PCs on stream, and yeah, that's an information that I will happily sit there and I know how to build a PC. I'll watch somebody else and learn. There's all, but you gotta do you, for real.
Yeah.
In any format of time.
For sure.
What is it about you that's gonna make me or anyone else watch you? Until you figure that out, then you're going to struggle.
Yep, I agree. But yeah, Brian, why don't you tell anybody or everybody where they can find you on social media and whatnot when you're not doing the show?
All right, I am DL Caesar on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and our family channel on YouTube is Alan's Ever After. Thanks again to everybody who has followed me and us on there.
And if you want to follow all my stuff, you can find me at Power Dragon, PowerDragn, just about everywhere. But you can find me streaming on Twitch Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. to midnight Pacific time, and on Facebook Gaming during the daytime hours during the week. But as always, we're just going to tell you whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And we're getting close, and we're all trying to get vaccinated. But until then, please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, stay away from other humans that are icky with the whole COVID so we can get back to gaming and gathering sooner rather than later.
If you'd like to further support Color of Magic, you can find us on our website at colorofmtg.com. We also have a Patreon if you'd like to donate under patreon.com/colorofmagic. You can also find us on Facebook under Color of Magic. And if you want to follow us along at Twitter, you can find us there at colorofmtg. And as always, please share the podcast around to your friends, your network, people you think might enjoy it, because every little bit helps as we're trying to increase our user base.